tweet at TodaySOR.
Quick reminder, by the way, that we have advice coming up for cat and dog owners, perhaps some other pet owners as well, pet lovers. That'll be at about 10 to 12. You can still text some queries into us on 51551 todaysor at rte.ie for your emails. Now, the COVID virus, the COVID-19 virus, as we know, has put a halt to much of Irish life, not least in sport. The GAA is just one organisation that's seen all activity postponed until the 19th of April at the earliest. And while action on the pitch grinds to a halt, so too does the economic activity that surrounds big GAA fixtures. And already this week, Croke Park told staff they would be implementing temporary pay cuts of between 10 and 20%. Gaelic Games journalist and regular contributor to the programme, Damien Lawler, joins us now to talk about this. Damien, the impact of the virus on the GAA, what is the current situation as you see it?
Sean, everybody's very wary, to put it mildly. For some perspective, last year the GAA showed a 22% increase in gate receipts, generated a 6.5 million boost to a figure of over 36 million. Revenue went beyond 70 million for the first time. It was a record-breaking 2019, Sean, and that was largely down to huge attendances, an increase in ticket prices as well, and of course the All-Ireland Football Final replay between Dublin and Kerry. Now, worst case scenario, the current situation, monitoring day by day, the worst case is that there might not be a championship in 2020. And if that happens, the association estimated could lose up to 60 million. But that's unthinkable really at the moment, and nobody is thinking like that. It's stage by stage right now. And April the 19th, Sean, is the next official update that we'll receive from Croke Park on the fixture issue.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose a dramatic push in extremis, they could have a knockout championship, couldn't they? Which is something a lot of people have been looking for down the years. Football, they could hold it over, 4 or 5 weekends,
well,
up to the middle of October.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Connacht Championship could be run off within 3 weeks, so that there is scope for that there. I mean, Croke Park are very reluctant to make any big calls for the time being, and you can see why. I think if worst case scenario, you'd be hopefully able to run off an inter-county championship within 10 weeks. You might have to change the format compared to what we've seen in the last couple of years. You might have maybe one back door, but I would certainly say that the qualifiers are Super 8s, certainly the Round Robin Provincial Hurling Championships, Dáil Hall have to be looked at. But worst case scenario, you could hope to run off an inter-county championship between 8 and 10 weeks, and that could still give a window for the clubs as well. But as I say, it's too early for anybody to think that right now.
Let's hope we will see some action, Damien. You spoke to people on the ground, including the Monaghan football manager, Seamus McEnany. What did they have to say?
Yeah, Banty was dying to get back into the hot seat for a number of years after taking the Monaghan Miners. And I looked at the fixture calendar, Sean, just picked out two big games, both of them coming on May the 10th. You had Cavan versus Monaghan in the Ulster Championship. And then down south, you had Waterford versus Tipperary in Walsh Park. Both would be huge money spinners for the local economies. And Seamus McEnany is a businessman himself. He still hopes that that game can go ahead. He does say that there will be a huge knock-on effect for the town of Clonus if it doesn't. And of course, no surprise, he tells us just how much he's missing the sport that he loves as well.
The people of Monaghan and Cavan, I live here on the border of Shercock, just a mile out from Shercock, and the rivalry would be immense. It's like an old firm derby when Cavan plays Monaghan. It's now in Clonus. Hopefully we get playing that game, and it would mean an awful lot to the people of this area and the Monaghan and Cavan people to get back out supporting games again. And you know, from a Clonus point of view, from the town of Clonus, the business that would generate in that area, you know, right over to Cavan Town after the game in Clonus, but especially Clonus, you know, Clonus Town needs these big games, and I'd be hopeful that it will be played, that it will be played in some format, whether it's a knockout or whether it's a back door or whatever the case may be, but I would hope that the Ulster Championship will be played, and we'll be really looking forward to hopefully getting back to football and a crack at Cavan in the summer. We've missed out on an awful lot of training, especially over the last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, it's frustrating from everybody's point of view, from a player's point of view, from a management point of view. I suppose it's the unknown is nearly the worst part of it. It's, you know, not knowing when you're going to get back, not knowing, you know, what level of fitness we're at the moment, and you know, when to peak at that, and when we might get back playing. But yes, it's frustrating, but it's totally understandable. The authorities of the country have done an unbelievable job here. They're really showing great leadership, and it is definitely the right thing for the country. But from GA manager's point of view, it's very frustrating at the moment. This break in the calendar really reinforces what the GA means to us all. You know, we're all very passionate about it. It's collectively, it's the, you know, it's what you miss in the dressing room. It's that camaraderie that's in the dressing room. It's, you know, you meet up with lads, becomes really important to you, and your whole group becomes really important to you. So it's I miss it unbelievably at the moment. But listen, hopefully that if we're all healthy in a few weeks' time, that we'll be back in action again.
A crack at Cavan in the summer, says Banty, really does emphasise just what inter-county activity means to the GA, but financially as well as every other way, Damien.
Yeah, Sean, I mean, you can tell from Banty the passion there. And I suppose massively important is the inter-county calendar to the GEA. Just take a landmark All-Ireland final in the mid-90s. 1996 football final, for example, Meath versus Mayo. The GEA's revenues have increased nearly four times in the 24 years since that. I think they went from gate receipts and broadcast fees of 13 million back in 1996 to just over 50 million euro a year. And that doesn't include commercial earnings either. And they're realistically tied to the fixture opportunity too, Sean.
Yeah, and that's a big knock-on effect here. I mean, fourfold increase, as you say, in the quarter century. But the GA does spend a lot of, is it 84 cents out of every euro taken in, it goes back to the clubs?
Yeah, at central level. The knock-on effect will be considerable, Sean. Last year, the GAA grew club distribution by 500,000. They went from 2.5 million to 3 million. From an administration point of view, the provincial councils distribute a wealth of funding each year to clubs all over their provinces for projects such as coaching, new pitches, improvements to their facilities, equipment, player injury schemes. All of that now. The Ulster Championship, for example, could take a hit of 2.5 million in both gate receipts and commercial revenue if we don't see action this year, as Ulster GEA PRO Declan Woods explains right now.
Trying to plan and look forward is desperately difficult. I suppose even something that's unique to ourselves here in Ulster, being a province which operates as an all-Ireland sporting or an all-Ireland sporting body, crossing two jurisdictions, even when we start to see some remnants of a release to people to get back to doing certain activities. Will we be in a situation where there are different rules and application of rules, of course, across the two jurisdictions, be that north and south? They haven't been fully synced, I think it's fair to say, in varying recommendations and controls that have been in place. I know there is moves to improve that even currently. That's something, of course, that will be a concern for us that we have to keep an eye on. I suppose from a financial aspect, firstly, we could estimate with a good Ulster Championship and with the fixtures that we had drawn this year that we would have been looking at total gates of somewhere in the region of 1.6 to 1.8 million, which is a non-insignificant figure. And of course, look at approximately 50% of that gate money is redistributed back to counties and clubs. You have field rents, county team grants, all your additional grants to ground improvements and grants for associated bodies. And of course, the knock-on effect of this is that if that revenue doesn't come in this year, for example, what it does to development plans within those clubs and counties, etc., going forward. And of course, that's not even touching on what it would mean to the local economies. Match day revenues are enormous. If you take what was to be our first game on the 10th of May, which was Cavan and Monaghan, what that would mean to any local economy, whether that game be in Kingspan, Breffni Park, or in Tiernach Park in Clonus, to Cavantown or Clonus, is phenomenal. You're talking about shops full, restaurants full, pubs full, local bus companies busy with taking people to and from, our sports stores busy with selling of sports memorabilia and replica jerseys and things like that. So it's a huge, huge deal. And of course, the excitement that it builds. I know sport is not the be-all and end-all, and I know that there are more important things, and we're fully cognizant of the difficulties that people are going through at the moment and the worrying times that are there. But I suppose it is a great release.
So that's Declan Woods, GAA PRO in Ulster. Damien, supporters really wondering, when will we see some fixtures, some action again?
Sean, if you told me that yourself and Alistair, producer, were going to have a few pucks this evening, I'd nearly pay €5 and bring a bag of popcorn and go up and watch you.
I see, by the way, you were on Twitter yourself doing a back garden challenge. Now, I know you're no Seamus Callanan, but I suppose it's a good way for GA people to keep in touch.
Yeah, and that's really my home club, Kilrone McDonagh, is just challenging us all to skills, you know, they push the bar out to get me involved. But no, it keeps everybody linked up. And I think really April the 19th is the next big thing, Sean. It's probably when we'll find out more, because Croke Park are in constant daily contact with the Department of Health and all the relevant officials, and they're being led by them. So I think... It's stage by stage, really. They'll be led on the national front. But I think the great thing about the GAA, from what I'm seeing across the country, across the 32 counties, club members and supporters are really turning now to some charitable and volunteer work in their community. And Declan Woods explains that again.
If you were moving around at the moment and talking to people, which you can't do, the topic of conversation from now on, and among GAA people in particular here, would have been the Cavan and Monaghan game. And of course the stories will be starting to be told about rumours about who was injured and who wasn't and things like that. And that's obviously something that is part of the fabric of society. And I think, again, one of the pluses to GAA being central in our communities is the efforts that are being made throughout the country, with GAA clubs coming to the fore, as they always do at times of need, to assist our supporters and I suppose less well-off parties, be that from a health perspective or financial perspective, in assisting them with their needs at this troubling time. And Damien, that's the good thing about the GAA, and that's what it has always done. And I suppose even more so now, rural Ireland would have always been aware of it and would have seen it and understood it. And I think now even the cities and the urban areas are really re-seeing the power and the value of their clubs. I know a club in Belfast that issued letters to everybody within their area, people whether they were non-members or not, offering assistance, and you know, things like that are the good news stories. And I suppose, look, at that's where we're at. You know, we look to the future. We would hope that we will have an Ulster Senior Championship of some description. We would hope that our clubs will have their club championships. And we would hope that we will move to a provincial club championships at some point. And those are, I suppose, our goals. The league is something that's for discussion centrally. So that's not within our gift. We will follow whatever happens at central level regarding what happens with the league. But we would expect that even from our own clubs and counties that league competitions will take a massive change in how they will be played out this year.
So very much a waiting game there, Damien, as Declan Woods makes clear. Now, we were talking earlier in this conversation about possibly losing the round robin and the Super 8s being compacted. But what will it all mean to businesses around the country if games are switched or cancelled?
Yeah, to answer your question, Sean, it'll have a huge effect on local businesses and economies if the fixtures don't go ahead. Gerald Hurley is the CEO of Waterford Chamber of Commerce, and Gerald says that the Tip and Waterford clash on May the 10th alone would be worth approximately €5 million in total revenue to the local economy. 20% of that €1 million will go on taxes, and about 10%, €500,000, Sean, in wages. So Walsh Park will be packed to capacity for that game. Tipperary man and new Waterford manager Liam Cahill would welcome his native county back to that town. And Gerald now describes the effect of possibly not having a game in the city.
The loss of revenue to the business community is further impacted by the cancellation of so many events. A case in point is the visit of Ireland champions Tipperary to Walsh Park for the opening round of the Munster Hurling Championship on May 10th. The hospitality sector will certainly feel it most, as the pubs and restaurants would normally be bursting at the seams with matchgoers and viewers. The economic benefit to the city will be significant in terms of bed nights and hospitality, and it will be another blow for a sector which is already crippling under the pressure of COVID-19.
Tough times indeed, lots of uncertainty. Gerald Hurley there, Chief Executive of Waterford Chamber, ending that report by Damien Lawler. Damien, thank you very much. No doubt, whenever it does start, you'll be there bringing us any news in the coming weeks and the potential new shape of the GAA season when that starts to emerge. Damien, thank you for that. We're talking cats and dogs after these.